testing. There we go. Praise the Lord, everybody. It has been a beautiful day and a gorgeous week. It's a good day to be in the house of God tonight. We are going to start with some announcements. We got some announcements. You can be seated if you want. We'll start with some announcements, and then we'll pray and have some worship. Tonight's our family focus night, so we're excited about that. And we'll get into that after the worship. But some announcements tonight. If this is your first time here, or you're watching online for the first time, or you're watching online for the first time, but it's in the future, right? We're glad to have you worshiping with us, taking a part of God's kingdom with us. We'd love to get to know you more. If you want, you can fill out a little card. You can go to the bit.ly link. We can get your information. You can ask us some questions about who we are, what we do. And also, we'd like to offer you a free home Bible study if you want to learn more about God's word. So welcome. Thank you for being here. Also, for giving, if you feel compelled to give or you'd like to give, we have a number of different ways that you can contribute. We can give online. There's a website, cgcmadison.org. You can give in person. There's a little box in the back. You can give by mail. If you'd like to send mail in, the address is right up there. And also, there's an app on my phone, but there's an app you can give on as well. Some announcements for some upcoming events. So now's the time to pull out your phone and enter these in if they're not yet. But this Friday, is the 10th, I believe. The 11th, sorry. Is all church prayer this Friday, 7 o'clock. So be here. We're going to be praying collectively. There's a lot of needs. And God's trying to do something, so we want to hear from Him. And then this Saturday at 5 p.m. is our next family sharing and prayer. We're going to talk through that in just a minute after near the end of the family focus portion. And then in August, we have our youth week coming up. So we're excited about that as well. So lastly, for a save the date, if you have a baby you would like dedicated, that is September 10th. We dedicate our babies to the Lord, our children to the Lord. We do not baptize them here. But if you would like to dedicate, you can register via the Church Center app or by scanning this QR code or just by finding one of the pastors and we'll hook you up and we'll make sure you have the ability to dedicate your child. With that said, we have a video to play and then Sarah's going to give us a quick announcement.
Can someone say, move the mission? I am so excited to be up here and talk about Move the Mission. It's one of my favorite things. I'm so passionate about it. It is so important, and I truly, truly believe in its cause. So for those of you who don't know, I just kind of had a video about it, but it helps support missionaries around the world. It gives them vehicles, it gives them transportation, and it gives them support to be able to go out into all the world and teach the gospel. We here cannot do that, so we give in order and support them so that they can do it. Amen? Move the Mission also supports Tupelo Children's Match and Lighthouse Ranch for Boys, AYC, Bible Quizzing. Some of the funds also stay in Wisconsin, and it gives to the children's ministry. It gives the opportunity to have camps, winter youth conventions, link rallies, and it also supports P7. And I don't know for all of you that know what P7 is, but basically it gives the opportunity for our young people to go into their high schools and start a Bible study. And we have two P7 clubs in our youth group, and I'm so proud of our youth group. So we have one in Sun Prairie High School. Yeah, let's hear for them. This year they had about 2 to 3 guests, I believe. And then we also had one in Marshall High School, and they this year had 10 guests. So they are doing amazing. But they would not have this chance or this opportunity to do that if Move the Mission was not possible. It gives them the chance to go into their high schools and teach the students about God. There are so many ways that you are able to give to Move Mission. Obviously, we just talked about all the options. But we are super excited. We have a couple fundraisers coming up in the next couple weeks. So August 20th, about a week and a half, we're having another Move the Mission bake sale. Super excited about it. Again, we'll have cakes, pies, sourdough bread, cheesecakes, whatever else. It's going to be amazing. So come, bring your sweet tooth. Plan to buy lots of goods. And then August 27th, the week of Youth Week, we're having a Frito Boat Fellowship. So after the service, the youth will be hosting. They'll be outside under the carport. Come out, bring your family, eat some food and some fellowship, and also give to Move the Mission. Amen? The final offering is August 27th, that day of that Frito Boat Fellowship. This year, Wisconsin's goal is $250,000. And I truly believe that Calvary Gospel Church can be a part of moving that mission. Amen.
Thank you, Sarah. It's exciting. Let's all stand tonight. Before we head into worship, we want to pray. And, you know, sometimes there's needs. Sometimes we send them through the prayer chain, which is some people that are praying, and they call each other and share these needs. But right now, there's a lot to pray for. You know, I'm going to go through the needs, and maybe you'll remember them. Maybe you won't. I'd encourage you to keep praying for them after tonight. But Sister Lois is in bed tonight with her vertigo again. It's spiking up recently, and Pastor Roy is staying to help her. Jameson Rivas, the new baby of Sam and Kelly, he has to have open heart surgery tomorrow. Ben Vernon also has to have heart surgery in the next week or two. Ben Smith is having some more work on his brain for the things that they're having to work on in there. And Brother Hawk, let's not forget Brother Hawk. There's a lot. I don't want to minimize flus and stuff, but this is some big stuff, right? But we serve a big God. And we're all here together agreeing that our God can answer prayers. And we agree that we want his kingdom to come and his will be done. And so let's pray that God has his way in this service, but let's pray for our family. Let's do that tonight. Thank you, God, for tonight. Thank you for your presence and being in this place and being in this building, God, and being in this community. God, we pray that you would have your way tonight in this service, God. The things of our day, our jobs, our schools, our families, our kids, our friends, God, that they're not distractions tonight, God, that we don't think about them, but we focus on you in worship. God, anoint the worship, God, anoint the speaking, God, anoint our hearts and minds to hear and understand what you have, Lord, so that we might leave different. We might leave closer and connected to you. And God, Lord, there's some special needs. Our family needs help, God. Lord, touch Sister Lois. God, you know what causes this vertigo, God. We believe you can heal it. You can remove it immediately, that you can take it away from her body, God. We pray for Jameson Rivas, God. We know what that you can heal, that you can take care of, that you can guide the doctors, that your will be done in his situation. God, we pray for peace in that family. We pray for peace in that operating room. We pray for peace in your little baby, God, this Jameson Rivas. God, we pray for Ben Vernon. God, Lord, you know what's going on in his heart. You know what it takes to heal it. You know what it takes to cure it. You know what it takes to remove it, God. We pray that you would have your hand, that you would take out anything that is causing negativity in that man's body, God. We pray for Ben Smith. God, remove anything. Make his brain do the way you intended it to do. God, heal him. Guide the doctor's arms, God. The doctor's hands, God. Have your way in that situation. And God, we pray for our brother James Hawk. God, Lord, we pray against this cancer, that it would be gone, that it would not be in him anymore, God, that you would make him whole and complete, God, that we would make him healthy and comfortable. God, we speak against every sickness, God, any infirmity, God, everything that's trying to come against this church, this body, this family, this community, God. God, we declare, Lord, God, we speak healing into these situations in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Worship with up tonight.
So let's start. just wanna be with you.
Can
Let's just worship him tonight. Thank you, Jesus. God, you're awesome. God, we love you. We love your presence. We love what you're doing in this place. God, have your way. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. God, on earth as it is in heaven. In my life as it is in heaven, God. You are our King. You are our Savior. You are our Lord. Show us your glory, God. We want to be close enough to hear you, God, to hear your voice, to feel your presence, God, to see the things you see, God. We submit to you, King. We submit to you, Lord. Have your way, God. Have your way, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. You can be seated tonight. God is so good. I think about the song we just sang where it says, show us your glory. Show us your glory. And what verse comes to mind when you think about that? What? When Moses is like, show me your glory, right? And right after that, Moses goes down the mountain because God's given him this vision of what is going to happen. He's like, you build this tabernacle, this tent, right? And I will dwell in there. My glory will be there. But there was a process to get to where the glory was. There was a process to get to where the... And I'm telling you, we're reading through Leviticus. It's taking longer than I wanted. But there were some very specific requirements. There was, can I say, a way to get to the glory. And you want to have another fun read, go read the people that tried a different way and see how they ended up seeing the glory. Right? It's a scary thing. And so that leads us to our series, our family-focused series that we've been doing all year. This is August, so we're 8 out of 12 months in, which is what, 75%? 75% after tonight. And so the idea behind this is called The Way is Life. And you're like, Peter, that's horrible English. And I would say, yes, you're right. I went to engineering school, not grammar school. But let me explain what this means if you're new or maybe we need a refresher. When I was a kid, I have no idea why I had this t-shirt, but I had a t-shirt that said, Mississippi State Basketball is Life. I know nothing about Mississippi State. My mom probably got it at Goodwill for all I know, right? Mississippi State Basketball is Life. And you see the people, we'd go down to Florida and it's like, salt life, beach life, right? Or the people on the bumper stickers that says, soccer is life. And then you meet those people at the soccer match with their kids, and like they have the pop-up tent with the air conditioners, right? And the cooler full of freeze pops to hand out. Like, literally, soccer is life. But then let's take it a bit further. Work can become life. Racing can become life. Family can become life. Ministry can become life. And so now you're starting to see this idea is where we spend our time and energy and the way we go about doing things is what makes us who we are and what our lives are. And so when Jesus comes along, we read, let's skip two slides, Brittany. We read in John 14, verse 6, and he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. But here's what's interesting. I've read this every single month. But it says Jesus told him. He was responding to someone. So what's the verse before it say? Well, let's read the verse before it. So John, in verse... Oh, I'm not even trying the clicker. Look at me. Look at this here. Some sort of... Okay. Okay, we're just going to go without it here, without the clicker. I trust him to go without it. So in John 14, verse 4, Jesus says, "You know the way where I am going." And Thomas says, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" There's a little lesson in here for us. It's okay to not know the way. And it's okay to ask for help. And so he says, "How can we know the way?" "What do you mean? I don't know. What way are you talking about?" He's like, "Well, you know where I'm going. You know the way I'm going." He's like, "I don't know where you're going. How can I know the way?" And so Jesus says in verse 6, he says, "I am the way. I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. We don't see his glory except we do it his way. We don't have life more abundantly except we do his way." You can't experience the peace that comes from the Prince of Peace unless you're following the ways of the Prince of Peace. Right? And so there must be a way of doing things the right way. And Jesus was saying, "Follow me." That's what he told his disciples. That's what he told us. "Follow me. Follow what I'm doing. Follow my way of doing things, and you will have life, and you will have life more abundantly." And so what I get to thinking is my soccer life, is my work is life, is my parenting is life, is my Lego is life, is my hobbies is life, is my homeschool is life, is my whatever is life. Am I seeing life more abundantly the way I'm doing it? Now, you're all looking at me saying, "You just badmouth Lego and homeschool." No, I didn't. I would never badmouth Lego or homeschool. We've done them both. But the idea is that when we are making our lives about these things and events and things, and it's not about doing things the way God intended it. Okay? Isaiah 55, 8 through 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. This is the Lord's declaration. For as the heaven is higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." I've been telling you from the beginning, this is not going to be easy. It's difficult to do things God's way, but our lives are easier because of it. That's where we experience the peace and the joy in spite of the situations in our lives, okay? And so God's just saying, "You're not going to understand it. It's not going to make sense to you. My ways don't make sense. They're not anything like your ways, but just give them a shot and see." That's his message. Okay, so the series goal that we've been going through all year, is to equip men and women to lead their families to a life focused on Jesus by providing resources, examples, and opportunities. "Oh, but Peter, I don't have a wife or a husband. I don't have a family. I don't have kids." This applies to individuals too, right? I could be a single person learning from this. I can be a youth person learning from this. And then you'll have it someday when you get married and get older. Okay, so in quarter one, we went through priorities and boundaries. Yes, I'm going through this again. Maybe by the end we'll have it memorized. January, we talked about ownership. We are responsible for the growth of our family, not the church, not the schools, not your government. We are responsible for the growth of our family. February, we talked about eliminating hurry and distraction, and we said we can slow down and be more present. We choose not to, but we can slow down and be more present. March, family focus. We can choose what we focus on. Quarter two, we talked about spiritual disciplines. In April, we talked about prayer, and we said we can be intentional, present, and honest to connect with God. In May, we talked about Bible reading. We can read, understand, and apply God's word. And in June, we talked about fasting and separation. We can hashtag, what did Jessica say? Hey, make fasting great again or something? No, that was normalize fasting. That's what it was. Sorry. That would go viral if people didn't hate it so much. But June, we talked about fasting and separation. We can remove distractions from our lives. You notice a lot of positive speak here, right? Because you can do these things. I'm trying to change our mindsets. In July, we talked about community. We learned that we are the neighbor. And so we can be the neighbor to those God has placed in our lives. And so this whole quarter three is about service and community. And if you're noticing a trend here, I'm trying to work with some of the other ministries in the church and say, there's more going on out there for all of us, families, individuals, children. It doesn't matter. God is doing something in this community. We don't think so because, like, well, people are sick and times are hard. And nah, he's doing something. Go read through the Bible. He was always doing something through the sick and hard times, right? And so this month, our topic is not August. Our topic in August is helping others. And so Pastor Jerry is our outreach pastor, and him and I have been working through this and praying about this and figuring out exactly how we want to talk about this idea of service and community and how this fits in. And so I'm going to turn it over to Brother Jerry, and then I'll wrap up at the end. But Jerry's going to talk about helping others tonight. So give him a hand.
Tonight, I just wanted to share a story that I found recently. Pastor Jeremiah Stepik transformed himself into a homeless person and went to a 10,000-member church that he was soon to be installed as the head pastor. If you're wondering why I have a little lisp, I have some temporary teeth in right now. I'm in the middle of some dental work, so if you see a flashcard in my mouth, that's what's going on. It's not a real flashcard. It's just really bright white, but it's not. It's just something I got to do right now. He walked around his soon-to-be church for 30 minutes while it was filling with people for service. Only 3 people out of the 10,000 people said hello to him. He asked the people for change to buy food, but no one in the church gave him any change. He went into the sanctuary to sit down in front of the church and was asked. He asked the ushers if he could. He was asked by the ushers if he could please sit in the back because he sat in the front. He greeted people to be greeted back with stares and dirty looks, with people looking down on him and judging him. As he sat in the back of the church, he listened to the church announcements and such. And when all was done, the elders went up and were excited to introduce the new pastor of the church to the congregation. We would like to introduce Pastor Jeremiah Stepik. The congregation looked around, clapping with joy and anticipation, and the homeless man sitting in the back stood up and started walking down the aisle. And the claps all stopped, and all the eyes were on him. And he walked up to the altar area and took the microphone from the elders who were in on this, and he paused for a moment, and then he recited a scripture. He said, "Then the king will say unto those that are on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, and or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" And the king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatsoever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me." After he recited this, he looked toward the congregation. He told them all what he had experienced that morning. Many began to cry, and many heads were bowed in shame. And he then said, "Today I see a gathering of people, not a church of Jesus Christ. The world has enough people, but we need more disciples. When will you decide to become a disciple for Jesus?" And then he dismissed the service until the next week. It sounds terrible, but how often do we find ourselves in the mix of the 10,000s doing nothing for the hurting people around us? Evangelism, the act of sharing God's news, the good news of God in word and in deed, is a full contact sport. It's a full contact sport. You can't just do it without making full contact with somebody. True disciples who are called to minister to the world around them are stewards of hurting people around them. You understand what I just said? You become, because God has filled you with the Holy Ghost, you become a steward of those that you are in contact with. You are now responsible for them. You are responsible to preach to them, to teach them, to lead them to Jesus. But did you know you're also responsible, according to the focus scriptures tonight, you're responsible to demonstrate the gospel through acts of loving service and sacrifice. Luke 10:33 on the slide, Brittany, I'm skipping into the middle of it for the sake of time. Luke 10:33 says, "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and he went to him, and he bound up his wounds, and poured oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and he gave to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee." This is the story of the Good Samaritan, the story that we highlighted last family service last month. If you notice in this story, who do you think that you are in this story? Do you think that you are the person that is found on the side of the road? Or do you think that you are the Good Samaritan? Or do you think you're the innkeeper? Have you ever considered that you may actually be the innkeeper? You are the steward over the person who's hurting that God has placed in your care. And you are the one who is responsible. God has given you special provision. He's given you the Holy Ghost. He's given you all the things that you need to do to take care of the people around you. And he's asked you to take care of them. And anything more that you would give, he would also repay thee when he comes back. Jesus is the Good Samaritan. Jesus is the one picking people up off the side of the road and bringing them to us. We are the innkeepers. We are the ones responsible to take care of those that are around us. And we have been given resources to meet the needs of the hurting around us. It's no doubt, okay, it might be expensive. But who is writing, who's underwriting all of this program? Is it us? Are we the one who's spending our money? Or is it Jesus who's invested in our lives so that we can invest in others? Last month, we talked about the oikos again. Anybody been using your sheets? Or when we filled them all out and you filled out the oikos of people that... Last month, we learned that those who are, that we are the most concerned about, that's the people in our oikos. Those are the people in our circles. Those are our circles. And who would you care for? Who would you fight for? Who would you invite into your home? Who would you want to call a brother or a sister? Who would you let into your inn, so to speak? Who would you allow in? The more Christ-like we become, the bigger those circles grow and the more hospitable, or should I say hospitable we become. And I know that's a weird term, especially when I got a lisp. But the word hospitality evolved from the Latin word hospitalitas. I said that wrong, but anyway, it's Latin. Which referred to the relationship between a guest and a host, as it took to root from the word hospice. That's a root word for many words that we use in the English language today, but the word for host, guest, stranger, or visitor can be applied in these terms. But thus, hospitality is the act of welcoming guests or strangers, welcoming them in, allowing them to come into our lives, into our homes, into our church, welcoming them in. The parable of the Good Samaritan shows to what extent that we are to extend hospitality to the hurting world around us. Hospitality is more than finger food and lace dollies or doilies. You know those things that go into the coffee cups. It's a little bit before my time, but I've seen some. Hospitality, as described in the New Testament, for the New Testament Christian, is serving hurting people. Amen? Hurting people. Say it with me, hurting people. Say it with me again, hurting people. Say it with me one more time, hurting people. there's so much bad news and bad press and bad information and so much hearsay and stuff that's spreading around the world that we get numb to hearing bad things. But when somebody that is could be in your circle has a bad situation happen in their life, it's our responsibility to be hospitable, to become a hospital, so to speak, to become a first responder. There weren't hospitals in that day and age. There were doctors, but the person that was the first responder, did you know that the Good Samaritan was the first responder to the man who was dying on the side of the road? We are called to be first responders, and maybe we might not be the first one that makes contact, but maybe we're the second one. Maybe we become the innkeeper, and then we become the person who takes care of somebody to a further degree. Amen. Luke 4:18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel." And sometimes we like to stop right there. But to finish the story, it says, "To the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach an acceptable year of the Lord." Every single step that Jesus took on earth was a step to expand his circle. When he started to preach, nobody knew who Jesus was. His circle was very small. But by the time he got to the cross, he had already touched governments. He had already touched towns. He had touched families. He had touched other countries. His circles had expanded. And whenever he sent his disciples out, they went further and further into Samaria and Judea, into the othermost parts of the earth. And here we are in the United States of America still preaching the gospel. We're still in Jesus' circle now. It's our duty to expand the circle, amen. Say it with me, we can help. 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 We're not too middle class to help. We're not too wealthy to take time out of our busy schedule. We're not too poor to help. We're equipped to help. God has given us the Holy Ghost, but not only that, he's blessed many of us financially, or he's blessed us with houses or cars or free time even. If with nothing else, if you are stuck at home, you can help by even prayer. And in this day and age, emails and communication, Facebook, text messages, cell phone, we can do something to help. Amen? I want to turn this back over to Pastor Peter. We got some things that we want to do with this Oikos circle, but I just believe when we go, there's going to be another phase to this. It has been said that a good church starts off as a hospital, then it becomes a family, and then it becomes an army. I don't know if I believe that. Because the most churches I find, they're stuck in one of those, or they haven't progressed, or they've reverted back, or they haven't really figured it out. I believe a great church can be all three. A family, but also a hospital, but also an army, a liberating army for Jesus Christ. In our very next time that we have this, we're going to talk about being the army for God. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Jerry. We can help. We can help. A lot shorter this time. You should be able to remember it. We can help. I think about this idea of this circle that we're working on, right? How many people, well, don't raise your hand. It'll just embarrass you. How many people brought your circle, right? Jerry printed this off. Did you get some extras in the back? Okay. We have some extras in the back. Ushers, if you want to start handing those out to people that didn't bring theirs or didn't have one. Right, we have a couple extras, okay? We might have enough for everybody, but if you need one, raise your hand. We'll try to get one to you, okay? And so there's this oikos, and it's this circle. And so last week we talked about we're the neighbor. And so we started to think about this idea of who's in our circle. And yeah, we had things like our families and our aunts and uncles and our grandmas and maybe our neighbors. And we put Pastor Jerry in our circle because Jack wanted him in there and he's a friend, right? We started talking about this circle, and that's where Jerry's talking about family. We're talking about homes, right? That's our circle. But tonight we learned that, yes, I'm here to help my home, but what about the people that God sends into or through my circle? What about the person that I see at work or at the grocery store? I'm not talking about family anymore. I'm talking about the people that I work with that I hear about a need, and I say, wow, there's a need. Yep, that's a need. But that's a need that God is sending into my circle. It's not my friend. It's not Pastor Jerry. Maybe he's a need that's sending into my circle, but it's this need that God is sending into my circle. And so we're not going to, tonight, if you have yours, I hope you go find it. I hope you're praying for people, like we said, because if you're praying for the people on the insides and outside of your circles, God will start to send them to you. God will start to do things if you really want to see something changed. Okay? And so these people are sending into our circle. And what's really interesting about this idea is so often we want to worry about if they deserve it or not. We want to worry about if they deserve it, but it's almost comical that God used the Good Samaritan, right? Because he didn't need to give that guy anything. But it doesn't matter whether they deserve it. It matters that we can help, and we do because God has commanded us. He never asked you to wonder if they deserved it or not. Right? And so, tonight, we're going to have a little group participation. You're going to sit with your couple as a couple or as a family, or if you're by yourself and you want to find a couple people to get around you, you could talk about it, okay? It's not imperative that you fill out your oikos right now. I would fill it out if you haven't yet. I'd be praying through it at night with your family. Maybe pick a name every night. But tonight, we're going to do something different. We're going to think about the people that are peripherally outside of our circle that are kind of coming into our circle at times. And we're going to think about the needs you have heard about. Not that, you know, Pastor Peter wants a truck or Pastor Jerry needs a new motorcycle. I'm not talking about those needs, but the people you hear that are needy, that you're at work or you're at the grocery or you're at your neighbor's and you hear about, oh, did you hear about the person 3 houses down? They'd have surgery. And he's out of work for 3 months. Maybe you heard about that when you were at home. What are the needs you have heard about? Big, small, doesn't matter. Because everybody's circle's different. So I want you to take, if you have it, the piece of paper. If you don't, if you have yours at home and you're like, I don't need the piece of paper here, pull out your phone. See, I'm giving you permission. Pull out your phone. And as a family, we're going to take 5 minutes. List out. Brainstorm. Make a list of the needs you know of for people that are not in your inner circle. So my needs are not going to be Jack wants this, Sophie wants this, Evie wants this, Casey wants this, my parents want this. My needs are the needs that we're aware of that are coming in contact with our circle. Maybe you can get them all down in 5 minutes. Maybe you can't. I don't know. But let's just try to jot some down. Okay? And so she's going to play the music. Don't leave. I got a really cool special announcement at the end of this. Okay? And we're going to have a little homework to take you back for. So get in little groups. Get as a family. If it's just you, Dad, or you, Mom and Dad, and you got kids, get the kids involved. They're hearing about needs too. This is a family event. Okay? So let's all get together. She's going to play for 5 minutes. Make a list of the needs you know of for people not in your circle, but that are the needs are coming into your circle.
You could probably go all night making a list of needs that are coming into your circle. But if you can finish the last couple, we're gonna move to our next portion. We came to this realization when we were sitting down here as a family trying to figure out, and my wife had to make it more simple for us because I was saying it wrong. So she's like, well, who are the people we know that need help? And what is something we can do to help those people? So maybe somebody's going through something and a card would mean the world to them. Maybe somebody's going through some time and some money or a gift card to Aldi or Shopko or wherever they get. Shopko is not around, right? Whatever, right? Maybe that would mean the world. Maybe they need their lawn mowed. Maybe need somebody to watch their child so that they can go through this other thing with their other child. Maybe they just need a visit. They need somebody to say, hey, I'm praying for you. I love you. It's easy to say we're praying for somebody, but doing something would be to go and actually visit them and lay your hands on them and pray for them. We're talking about doing more than just saying we can help, but helping. And so, maybe you'll come up with more items as you go. Here's your homework for the month. The homework is to start praying for names. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. Start praying for names in your oikos. Should have been doing this last month. If you weren't here, let's do it again. Start praying for the names that are in your circle and that are working into your circle. Add to your list of needs that are coming into your circle. So if you created a list and it's 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 items, when you hear about a need, write it down. Start a log. This isn't for pride. You're not doing this to get credit. I wouldn't put it on Facebook because then you're doing it for glory and not to help. Right? Jesus said the people that do that have their reward. And it was Facebook. So you take your list, you add things to your list, and then each week for the next 4 weeks as a family or as a person, choose one need and do something about it. If someone's having surgery, a massive surgery, you probably can't do the surgery, right? And you probably can't give them 3 months' worth of wages. But there is something you can do. There is something you can do. Find a need and do it. I have little 3x5 cards at work. Oh, where are they? Here we go. I carry these around everywhere. They're my to-do lists. And every now and then I just write a little note on it and leave it in the bathroom for my wife. Do you know how much that note cost me? Nothing. We can help. And if you're wondering, well, Peter, it's a little bit tight. I might not get my Starbucks if I give this $5 or I might not get my video game time if I go visit this family or this man that's going through this chemotherapy. I might not. Remember what Pastor Jerry said? God said, whatever he needs, take care of it. I got your back. I'm writing the check for this one. And let's just see that if we start helping people that God doesn't bless, that's not why we do it. I'm just trying to say, don't be afraid to help somebody because you think, where's the money coming from? Where's my time coming from? This is the way. This is what Jesus did. He walked around, and every single person that came into his circle, he tried to help. And guess what? Brother Putnam once said, why did people follow Jesus? Why were the crowds there? Because he met their needs. And so this is our homework. I challenge you. I dare you to try to help somebody every week. Don't leave tonight thinking it's too hard or too much or too much time. You can do it with a 3x5 card. Or you can do it with more because God's given you more. Whatever it is. Family sharing and prayer. This Saturday, 8:12, last time we had a blast. We had prayer. We had fun. We had ice cream treats. We did not grill out. We did not do s'mores because it was really hot. So we hung out. Just had a great time. Brother Roberto, Sister Nosley, it was great hanging out with you guys. I appreciate you and your family. It was just cool. Like, we don't get to hang out all the time, right? I tell everybody, family sharing and prayer is just an opportunity for community. That's all. And you get to hear and you get to talk to my brother, and it's like, man, I'm encouraged by what God is doing in this community, by what God is doing in this family. And so I encourage you, come out. Just hang out. There's nothing fancy going on. You don't need to bring anything. We'll probably have some water and some ice cream treats again. Nothing fancy. Just hang out as a family. You might hear about some needs. And so that's 8:12 Friday, Saturday, 8:12 at 5 p.m. Let's all stand tonight. I don't leave you with an altar call on nights like these. I leave you with a challenge to go home and do something. And so tonight, we can. That's right. This family series has been fun. It's really basic. We're trying to make it easy, right? But I'm really excited about a special weekend that we have coming up in October. October 13th through the 15th is going to be our family focus weekend. And we have a couple coming called Brother and Sister Doughty. They're out of Mattoon, Illinois. They work with couples and families. I'm super excited to have them here. And so Friday night, it's the whole weekend. Pull out your phone, book your time. You're not going mini golfing or, you know, playing video games. This is an opportunity. Friday night on the 13th at 6 p.m., we'll have breakout sessions for the men and the women. The men will be outside, weather permitting. The women will be inside. Sister Doughty will be speaking to the women. Brother Doughty to the men. You do not have to be married to be a part of this. If you're a man, you come to that. You'll be blessed. The next morning, we have a marriage seminar. Two sessions from 9 a.m. to noon with a continental breakfast, and childcare will be provided. Put it in your calendar. If you want to grow in your marriage and in your walk with God together, Saturday the 14th, 9 a.m. Saturday the 14th at 5 p.m., we're going to have a family grill out here at church. So go home, take a nap, mow the lawn, and come back. We're going to grill out and have a great time as families. And then Sunday morning, we'll just put it all together with our family-focused service where Brother Doughty will be speaking. And so if you want to be a part of what God's doing in this church, in this family, in this community, put it in your calendar. It's an opportunity to grow and learn. We can help. We can help. Let's pray tonight. Let's pray that God continues to show us the way he wants us to do things. Let's pray that he shows us the way that he's designed it. I love that y'all taking pictures of the screen. Keep it up. That's good, right? Let's pray that God has his way in our lives. Big, small, young, old. God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your message. Thank you for your word, God. Thank you for the challenge, God. Not because you're saying I'm not good enough, but because you say, God, Peter, I have something more for you. God, thank you for entrusting me with the people you're putting in my circle. God, help me to see them. Open my eyes to see the people that are coming in my circle. Help me to see their need. Help me to see how I am uniquely gifted to meet a need in their life. God, I pray, Lord, that you would touch every heart and mind in this place. Open their eyes to see the needs in their circles right now. God, I speak against pride and selfishness. God, the things that get us focused on ourselves, God. I pray, Lord, that your spirit of mercy and of grace, God, of peace, God, of compassion would be in this place and in our hearts and minds. God, help us to see that we can help. Have your way in our lives. Let your kingdom come and your will be done. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God bless you. You can be dismissed. Go do something to help. Let's not just talk about it. Let's do something.